Well, good morning to each one. Seems a little different to be up here again. Last time I was up here, there was only about five or six people out there in the crowd. This week was, like the last month has been, a different week, last couple months. I got rained out on Tuesday and Wednesday. And so I knew that I would have to be prepared for Saturday, due to work Saturday, so I wouldn't have my time to study on Saturday. So even though I had plenty of time to study, it was kind of out of routine for me, and so it kind of threw me off a little bit. Just bear with me a little bit. The title of my sermon this morning is called "When Storms Come." When Storms Come. And back in February, on a Wednesday night, we watched a Ray Vanderland video, and the name of it was "When Storms Come." Little did we know the storms that were coming at that point in time. So I'm going to be using some of the same scripture today. But to start with, I want to read a story about a butterfly. A man found the cocoon of a butterfly one day. He noticed a small opening had appeared. He sat and watched the butterfly for several hours as it struggled to force its body through that little hole. Then it seemed to stop making any progress. It appeared as if it had gotten as far as it could and could go no further. So the man decided to help the butterfly. He took a pair of scissors and snipped off the remaining bit of the cocoon. The butterfly then emerged easily, but it had a swollen body and small, shriveled wings. The man continued to watch the butterfly because he expected that, at any moment, the wings would enlarge and expand and be able to support the body, which would contract in time. Neither happened. In fact, the butterfly spent the rest of its life crawling around with a swollen body and shriveled wings. It was never able to fly. What the man in his kindness and haste did not understand was that the restricting cocoon and the struggle required for the butterfly to get through the tiny opening were nature's way of forcing fluid from the body of the butterfly into its wings so that it would be ready to fly once it achieved its freedom from the cocoon. Sometimes struggles are exactly what we need in our life. If we were allowed to go through our life without any obstacles, it would cripple us. We would not be as strong as we could have been, and we could never fly. So have a nice day and struggle a little. As I think back over the last 2 or 3 months, there's been lots of hardship, maybe not financial hardship for those who are here, but there's been a lot of loss of life that people that we know and are close to us. And that's not easy to go through. And you ask why. I think of Paul passing away suddenly, and Barbara's brother-in-law Raymond Graber passed away. Dion and Diana's mom passing away. Yesterday, Ryan passed away as well. Ryan Hosteller, Jolene's first cousin. In the last two, three months, three of my customers that I mow for have died. A spouse of them have died. One of them was just a heart attack. They found him on the floor. Two others were sick and died. But just seems like there's a lot of death around. And the struggle you see people going through and the pain and hurt. But yet we know that God is here. God is here with us. So today, I'm going to read from Matthew 14. And I'm going to read 22 to 33, and then I'm going to come back through and comment on these verses. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." A little history, go back just a little bit to the beginning of this chapter. Jesus had just found out that John the Baptist was beheaded by Herod. And so he wanted to get away from everything. So he had removed himself. They had went up to be able to, so he could be able to pray. But it says, verse 13 says, when Jesus heard it, he departed by boat to a deserted place by himself. It said, when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the city. So Jesus was trying to get away to pray. And the multitudes followed him. And Jesus, in compassion, taught them. And this was the example of the feeding of the 5,000, when Jesus fed the 5,000. So we pick up the story after this had all happened. 5,000 had been fed, and then Jesus sent his disciples away. And Jesus wanted then to go up into the mountains and pray and be by himself. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Mark, in the example in Mark, this story is in Mark and in John as well. In Mark it says he sent them to Bethsaida, told them to go to Bethsaida, which was, if you look at the map, this is in the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. And from where they were was, they think it was Tagba, I think is the name, is how you pronounce it. We were there when we were there in Israel. And to go to Bethsaida was basically 6 miles by land. If they would have just walked there, they could have been there in about 2 hours. But they were fishermen and they had boats, and so Jesus sent them by boat to go to Bethsaida. So they got in the boat to go. And we know that Jesus sent the multitudes away. Verse 23, he sent the multitudes away and he went up the mountain to pray by himself. Jesus wanted to be alone with God, talk to God. It says, verse 24 then says that the boat was in the middle of the sea. And from being there, I can imagine and see a lot of, on that side, the landscape goes up from the ocean or from the sea. It goes up. So if Jesus went up on the mountain to pray, the mountains aren't very high, but yet it's the sea is not really that big. I think it's maybe 8 miles wide at the widest spot, something like that, 8 to 10 miles. So it's not like it's a really, really big big sea. But Jesus had went up on the mountain to pray, and he could see the disciples out there being tossed by the waves. And as I read this and I read a commentary, one of the things that stuck out to me is that these disciples were out there struggling. They were in the middle of the sea. They were tossed by the waves, it said, for the wind was contrary. And oftentimes we think of that and it's like, why is this happening to me? What did I do? The disciples were right where Jesus had sent them to be. Doesn't mean that when Jesus sends us somewhere, when Jesus asks us to do something, that it's going to be peaceful. It's going to be easy. Jesus had sent them out there. They were doing exactly what he wanted them to do. And yet they were caught in the middle of a storm. Sometimes in life, we're in the middle of a storm. And it's not any fault of our own. Maybe God wants us to struggle with something a little bit. Maybe God wants us to search what we are. It says, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. Now the fourth watch of the night is between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. So Jesus had seen them in the evening time. He had sent them out, and he had seen them struggling out there already. So it could have been what, 8 o'clock? Still maybe a little bit of daylight at 8 at the latest. He'd seen the disciples are struggling at 8 o'clock. And they struggled at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, all the way up. It's 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And they're still struggling to go these 2 miles or these 6 miles that they could have been there a long time ago if they'd have just walked. But they're here fighting for their lives for could have been 8 hours. Trying to get to the shore. And Jesus is just up there watching them. You know, I had to think, what were they thinking? In Matthew 8, we know the story of Jesus when Jesus was asleep in the boat. And they woke Jesus and said, Jesus, help us, save us. And Jesus stands up and he calms the winds and the seas. Were they thinking about that time when Jesus stood up? Were they saying, if only Jesus was here with us, he could calm this for us? Were they crying out to him, hoping that he could hear them from shore? We don't know. We do know that they struggled. But we know that Jesus went to them in the fourth watch, late in the morning if you're struggling, between 3 and 6, sometime in there. See, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. One of the things that I read said it could be translated, they shrieked in fear. Can you imagine seeing something come across the water? Mark, the example in Mark, the scripture in Mark says that he would have passed them by, except that they called out to him, or they heard their cries. But it says, both of them say, immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Both Matthew, Mark, and John all say, it is I, do not be afraid. They all say that they were fearful because they thought it was a ghost. But they all say that he said, it is I. And when he said, it is I, they recognized who it was. Peter called out to them. Let me go back just a bit. In 25, when it talks about Jesus waiting until the fourth watch of the night, you know, oftentimes in life we think, why is God not here? Why is God not coming? Why is God not showing up? And yet we know that just like this story, God could have come, Christ could have come in the middle or at the beginning and calmed everything. The story of Lazarus is another one that when Christ heard that Lazarus was sick, they wanted him to come immediately. He said, but he waited 2 days. When Peter was in prison, it says that the next day, Herod was going to have him and was going to kill him. And that's when Peter was released from prison. He sat in the prison all this time. And Jesus, God waited until then to free him. So God has a plan. And though we don't like to struggle, we know that God has a plan for our lives. All right, I'll go jump back down to verse 28. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, come. If it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Peter is bold as always. And one of the things that also said, that it says, if it is you, it could have been translated, since it is you. So if you say that, since it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Peter wanted to go to Christ. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. Peter actually walked on the water. Can you imagine what that would have been like to see Christ? Not only see Christ walking on the water, and Christ stops and says, "It is I. Be of good cheer. The winds are still around us." Just because Christ is with us doesn't mean it's always going to be calm seas. But Peter walks on the water. And he's going towards Jesus. But then verse 30, it says, "But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Jesus took his eyes off of Christ. He took his eyes off of God. And he started looking around at the things that were going on around him. How easy is that to do for us today? To read the news and we see 1,500 different scenarios or 1,500 different reasons or theories or, maybe the flu came from China. Maybe it came from the U.S. Maybe it came from a bat. Maybe it came from a market. Maybe it came from this. Maybe it came. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're not faced with the flu as much here where we're at, kind of in a rural setting. I think of New York City. It's very real to them there. But yet, he took his eyes off of Jesus. What are we doing? What are we looking around us and seeing that takes our eyes off of Jesus? It says he began to sink, and he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And I like Jesus' response. It says, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Jesus reached out, grabbed him by the hand, and saved him, picked him up out of the water, and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" To me, it seems like Peter had a lot of faith to step out of the boat and to walk across the water towards Jesus. There were 11 other disciples in the boat. None of them had enough faith to step out. But yet Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" He was doing it. He was walking across the water. It's not like he stepped out of the boat and he fell into the water immediately. He was actually walking on the water. And then verse 32 says, "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased." When Jesus stepped into the boat, the wind died down. It says, "Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" The example in Mark says that their hearts were hardened. If I can find it here quickly. "Now those who had eaten, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened." And I think they had forgot about the miracle that had just happened. I think that's what they're talking about there. The miracle of feeding the 5,000. And now Jesus calms the waves. He walks on the water. It says they came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." You know, as I think about our lives, the disciples knew of all these miracles that Christ had done. They had seen him feed the 5,000. They had seen him heal people from the dead. They had seen him calm the seas when they were rough. They had seen all these miracles, and yet, time and time again, it seems like they cried out to him to save them. And when he did save them, they were amazed. It says, then they worshipped him. Were they not worshipping him before? It says they worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." And as I think about our lives, you know, God is there for us. God is going to be there for us when times are tough. God is going to be there for us when times are good. And think about our physical bodies. If you want to get stronger at something, you don't sit at home and watch reruns and drink Dr. Pepper and eat chips. the only way to get better at something is to apply yourself to it. If you want to get stronger, you got to work out. You got to lift weights. If you want to be better at basketball, you got to get out and practice. You got to shoot. If you want to get better at golf, you've got to get out there and hit a golf ball around a couple times. Wesley's shaking his head. One of my frustrations is that I can't hit a golf ball the way it should go. But yet, I don't get out there and practice. Or I get out there one time and I practice and I think, okay, now I've got this. And I go to the golf course the next week and obviously I don't got it. You know, when we struggle like that, when you work out, the next day you know you worked out. There's pain. Somebody goes through rehab. There's a lot of pain the next day. But they make them get back up and they make them go again. Same way in our lives when we struggle in our Christian walk, when life isn't all easy. You know, we think if we had enough money that life would be good, but it probably wouldn't. We think if we had, you know, enough food, whatever it is, life would be easy, but it's not. Life is a struggle. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your coming out, your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. It's a comfort to know that God is there with us. Look to the hills for our help. It says, he who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God doesn't sleep. If you cry out to him in the middle of the night, he's there. If you cry out to him in the middle of the day, he's there. He hears us when we cry out to him. In closing, I'd like to read two more verses from John 14. Verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is the way. It says, let not your heart be troubled. All we have to do is believe in Jesus. Believe in God. And then verse 27 also says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is there for us. He has peace. In the midst of the storm, whatever you may be going through, whatever your struggle may be, God is there for us. God is there with us. When times seem tough, God is there with us. Even though you may be where God wants you to be, there may be struggles. And yet God is there with us. Sometimes God allows us to struggle. Sometimes God allows us so that, like the butterfly, when we've come through, we're not crippled. Our faith isn't crippled. God allows us to struggle so that our faith can grow stronger and he can use us in a more mighty way. How much more would that butterfly, how much more beautiful would that butterfly have looked if it had struggled to get through the cocoon and reached its full potential in life, to be able to fly, be able to go from flower to flower or whatever as a butterfly does. How much better would our lives be if we were allowed to struggle through some of our things that we go through? How much better would God be able to use us if we can go through these times and come out victorious on the other end? That's all I have. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day you've given to us. Father, I thank you for your word that we have, where we can see your plan. Father, I thank you that you are there for us when we struggle. doesn't mean that you're not there walking with us, beside us. But it does mean that you have a plan for us. And maybe it's not easy at the moment, but yet we know that when we come through this time, you'll be there for us just as you were in the middle of the storm. Father, I pray that you would just be with each one of us today. Father, I pray that you would help us to live our lives for you. Help us to look to you for guidance, for strength in those times when we are struggling. Father, I pray that we would look to you and we would trust knowing that you are there with us. I ask that you just be with us today. Be with the remainder of the service. Be with Jay as he leads praise and worship. Just go with us and keep us today. In your name I pray. Amen.